Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the whole wide world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I'm your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And we spent like 30 minutes just talking about
shoot the shit.
About that goddamn Wolverine.
Yeah, hoping Wolverine and that goddamn Phoenix Force too.
And then that goddamn symbiotes.
We tired ass combo concept. We just fucking tired of.
Fucking tired. Just fucking tired. Because it's funny because the comics don't use that shit as much as the fucking other streams of media does. Nope. It's just like, Jesus Christ, dude, just let it fucking go.
Let that shit go, please.
I don't want to hear shit about no fit. I'm telling you, just give it all to Wolverine. He becomes a symbiote and he gets the Phoenix Force.
That would be the worst goddamn comic, don't you know?
I bet it is coming. It's probably one of them what if stories.
I'm sure it is. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's out there somewhere.
Well, we know he did get the symbiote one time. I don't know if he got both at the same time.
Yeah, man. I don't know about the Phoenix Force, but yeah, symbiote for sure.
I'll tell you who was badass with the Phoenix Force was Scott. He was a Cyclops when he went on that dark turn. I was like, that's what I want to see. I want to see some dark shit like that. Yeah, it's
like, that's cool.
Killing Xavier and shit like that, leaving that crippled man to die. I want to see that shit. I like that progression. As much great story as Scott has, that motherfucker, they kept making movies with Wolverine. I was like, oh my God.
Yep. Same old goddamn story.
We get it.
Dude is not that fucking interesting, y'all.
Get it, dude.
Stop fooling yourself.
Operated
please.
On. Damn. Even fucking Ghost Rider, he sold his soul to the devil. Even that motherfucker, like, yo, I don't even bitch about Mephisto this much as you. Fucking do with this dude, like, yo, when are you gonna grow and evolve, by the way? Like, he's the same fucking character.
I can't remember the last 200 years.
God, I hope that last episode with Morph whatever fixed his ass already, because damn shit. When you get that game though, Cole, you let me know how that is.
I'm not getting that game.
I couldn't spend
I was on the fits earlier, but the more I look at it, the more I hear about it, the more I see of it, I'm just not interested.
I know what it is to begin with, to be honest. I was like, I don't want to play a Wolverine game.
Another Wolverine beat him up. And like I say, even like the gameplay, even like the gore effects, I'm just, they're okay.
It's too gratuitous for me. I mean, I don't have a thing with violence. I know people are like, that's what we're doing.
I think it should be more gratuitous with what they displayed. That's just me. But I don't know.
This might be a bad comparison. I was getting that Avengers game vibe from it.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, I already wasn't going to get the game anyway because I just don't give a shit about playing as Wolverine or whatever and stuff.
That's you talking about like the repetitiveness of it?
The villains you fight and shit like that or whatever. I was like, I'm getting the Avengers vibe. I was like, and one thing good about the Avengers game, at least you can switch characters and use powers. That's kind of cool, but it's the villains and everything else. If I was Sith's ass or whatever, so it's like, oh man, so Wolverine don't even have that switching character attribute that, and playing with different powers and shit. You just clawing your way through the whole. He's like, oh, this game really gonna. I mean, for all I know, it could be the greatest fucking Wolverine thing ever. If all I fucking know. I don't know, I doubt it, but because I don't think his story is all that unique and interesting, to be honest with, if you ask me.
It's just not interesting.
I think it was fine back in the day because it was, you know, you never seen nothing like that. It was like, oh, shit, he operated. But it's like now, it's like, who ain't been operated on? It was like,
who don't have some sort of trauma?
Yeah, like, we get it, dude. Like, I don't think his characters have developed enough growth in mainstream media to be like, all right, it's the same fucking dude over and shit. It's like, we get it, you know? And the thing is, too, because I know people probably saying, oh, but Batman, what's his growth? It's like, there's a difference, though. Batman ain't no goddamn simp. He's a ladies' man. Wolverine is a simp as fuck, dude. Like, he ain't. Batman, Batman, he got the ladies, dude. I see him as Bruce Wayne. He rolling up, you know, got him on their arms and shit like that. This dude, though. We can't even escape the gene shit out of the games, Cody. Like,
thought we could.
When I saw her pop up, dude, I was like, oh, dude.
And it's hilarious too. Like every form I've read pertaining to the Wolverine game and that trailer that came out, nobody likes that shit.
Bro.
Nobody likes the Wolverine Jean Grey romance. Nobody.
I told you at Comic Con that shit got no reaction to it.
I don't understand why they keep cramming that shit in these various forms of Wolverine media. or X-Men Media.
I know they keep saying, oh, she appeals to his humanity. And it's like,
how?
As far as in like, what yeah,
way? Explain.
That's the best question, number one. Number two, people don't like Wolverine for his fucking humanity. They constantly say, I want to see this. They're like, I don't give a shit about his
humanity. No, I want to see that berserker rage, goddammit.
Cody, he's on a team called the X-Men with people like Storm, Bishop, Cable, Cyclops, Jean Grey,
All of them are more interesting than Wolverine. Literally, each and every one of those characters are infinitely more interesting than fucking Wolverine.
Gambit can do not a goddamn thing throughout the whole show, dude. And all you gotta do is use that Cajun accent. We like him more. He'd be like, "Oh man, that dude's smooth as fuck right there." Yeah. All right, but like, ain't shit interesting about this dude. Like, and who would want this dude? Like, he keeps talking about me and Jean. We like, why would she want you? Like, do you not watch that show and just go like, when you see him on screen, just like, yeah, this is why Jean don't want your ass.
Yeah, needy ass motherfucker. That's a fucking weirdo.
It's like, especially if you saw that solo episode he had, and if Jean was there, it's like, you think she would get with you after this episode? Like, if she saw this from like lens out, whatever, would you really think that this would? No, you ain't got a chance in hell, bro. Like, oh man, just continue to be Cyclops' sidekick like you were in the comics. Just be a sidekick, whatever. That's what you're good at, a side character. Anyway, though, people, it is a new month here on The Last Drop. It is I almost said October. Shit, jumping ahead here, whatever. It is August. We're back to our regular scheduled program.
That's right.
It feels like forever because we were doing a Neho and then extra Neho.
Extra Neho. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I know in October we're doing our High Proof month as well, too. But also before we get into the show, before we start, special condolences to the Kavinsky family. Kavinsky passed away.
Yeah, crazy, man.
4 or 5 days ago, almost about a week ago or whatever. I think it was on Tuesday last week. Kavinsky is a French electronic artist. I think he got his startup in back in like 07-ish or whatever and stuff, where he was opening up for Daft Punk's fuck was it called? It's called Live again, right? Alive tour.
Alive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that tour was really huge. If you was a Daft Punk fan at the time, I wish I wasn't broke at that time because I probably would have went to that show. Because especially not knowing that they fucking broke up like 15 years later. But that concert, man. If you watch those old videos and shit,
man, dude. Yeah, I've seen those live videos, dude. Holy shit! There's a reason why the concert is a legend that it is.
Yeah,
man, I'm just watching for video. I can only imagine being there.
I mean, they made a whole fucking, like, I don't think you really see bands and stuff do this. They made an album based off of it with, like, the whole straight-up live version of the songs and stuff. It was really dope. And, like, the crowds were, like, packed. Like, I mean, it was, like, you would have thought it was, like, a Coachella of its time, whatever. Stuff.
Right,
those crowds were even larger than a Coachella or whatever and stuff. So Kavinsky used to open up for them. And he got his start from there. He was touring with them like constantly, especially between 07 and 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 2010 when Drive came out too, or 2011.
I think it's 2011.
2011. Yeah. And Guy Manuel of Daft Punk, he wrote the single that was on that movie, and Kavinsky's first like top single too as well, which was Night Call. So, man, I didn't Daft Punk and Kavinsky kind of had like, you know, tight influences together. That was the first time I heard Night Call was through that movie. And me and Cody were coming back from San Diego and we had it playing. And I just remember we were silent as fuck in the car. Because that shit was so
fucking good. Night Call, man. What a legendary fucking song, dude.
And like his first album had came out. He's only had two albums, which is fucking crazy to think about, too, by the way. I guess if you can think about it, because Daft Punk didn't really have that many albums, neither. It was like a total of 4 or 5, whatever. Especially as long as they've been in the game. And his first album came out, and liked the album a lot, and Odd Look was the first single off of there. Odd Look was so fucking dope, though, the video aspect of it and everything like that. And then he fucked it up by having that Weekend version of it. That one sucks ass. Did not like that one at all. I tried to re-listen to it multiple times. It's like,
yeah, it's a little excessive. It doesn't really need to. He doesn't really add much to it.
No,
And it's funny because I didn't, especially at that time, I didn't like The Weeknd. I liked some of his later stuff. I was like, oh, The Weeknd's cool, whatever.
I love The Weeknd.
I still think he works on that particular remix.
I feel the same way about Weeknd as I do about Childish Gambino. I think I like more of his later work than his earlier work. And same with Weeknd, because I remember we used to roast The Weeknd, clown his
thing. Right.
I think it was when that album came out he did with Daft Punk, with Starboy, I think that was the name of it.
Yeah.
That was the one where I started liking it. That Starboy video was dope as shit, too, because it had the I like that Daft Punk photo in the background as he's, like, walking down the halls and shit like that. I was like, that is fucking clean right there. I wish I had that on my walls. But that I like that album. Then even the album after that, which was, like, Blinding Lights and all that, I was like, all right, this is really good. I was like, I was probably too hard on this dude then. But then I listened back to that Odd Looks, and I was like, no. It just didn't fit. It's one of those. No. Funny enough, there's actually a song in there too with Havoc from Mobb Deep. I didn't think that fit neither.
That's not a great song. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that one.
No, I think I prefer the Odd Look Weeknd one over the Havoc one. I'm just like,
when that would just fall short.
He said that line of cut these fools like piece of pies with extra cheese.
Like, the lyricism is just not working.
That's some Jay-Z shit right there. That's like, I'm a business.
Not the best Sean from Havoc.
No. The thing is, too, about Kavinsky's albums, I never really fully liked all the both of his albums. I don't like the albums all together as one or whatever.
Yeah, not every single track works.
No.
I agree with that.
No, but he's got some, like, banger hits on there,
right,
too, as well. Like, I could probably say I probably like more tracks off the second album than the first one. I'd have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I got to go back. I think they're about on par for me. Maybe I
might be
a slight edge to the first album, but I think for the most part they're on par.
I think I like the second one more because it didn't do that the Weeknd or Havoc shit on that second one. It just kind of stayed
fair,
more electronic.
What's the Weeknd that was actually on the album?
Probably. A deluxe version one.
Oh, deluxe. Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't count that, then not really.
Okay.
Whatever. So,
I don't remember that, but deluxe for that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and they started using that as the radio version.
Right.
And I was like, no, I don't like that one or whatever. But they had tracks like Pacific Coast Highway on there, which was like, I mean, if it wasn't for Night Call, that'd be the fucking best track on there. And the Pacific Coast Highway, dope as shit. Kavinsky's story, it was kind of like why I got into electronic music. Not so much Kavinsky's, because I was already listening to electronic music at the time. But electronic music, I like that all the artists had like these background stories. Whether you had Daft Punk, you know, we knew that they were real people and shit that was making music long before they were all even called Daft Punk or whatever, but they developed these characters of playing these robots and they never talked or did anything and stuff like that. Marshmello has like a story. Then you see like Kavinsky, his story was, he was a race car guy or whatever and shit. He got into a car accident and then he became a zombie. That's why the red lights, the red eyes light up and stuff like that. And so all of his music were based on like car zombie themes or whatever and stuff. And like, so you hear it in the music too. Like they're straight up like, especially that first album. I would even say the second album too as well, to a certain degree. Like it has more of a, I would say the second album has more of a laid back sunset vibe, if you will. Whereas the first album has more of a, like a in your face, like we're rough or whatever and shit like that. But the song still vibes. Still.
That's fair.
So like it's a little bit more heavier on the guitar riffs and shit than it is in the second album. The second album is more like, not orchestral, but like a little bit more jazz influence, if you will, than the first album. The first album feels like more of the rock version, where the second one feels more of the jazz version. That story I thought was already cool. You know, dude was in a car accident. He didn't talk neither, whatever. He's a zombie. And even in his live shows, he did the red eyes and shit. He performed at the Olympics in 2024, if I'm not mistaken. He closed the show. I'm glad they released that version of Night Call that he performed there too on Apple Music, Spotify, all that and stuff like that. Because I forgot the band that he performed with to do that song, or whatever and shit. But I thought that version came out really clean. I actually like that version.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's really clean, especially the chick that was singing too. I always forget her name. She's part of that band as well. I thought she did her great on the vocals as well too. But I like that in the show for the Olympics, the eyes lit up red and stuff like that. I was like, oh, that is dope as hell. I was like, I don't know how the fuck he's doing that or whatever and stuff, but that is cool as hell. So I thought his background story was cool, and then the music obviously was dope. But like Cody said, I like more of his singles than I do the actual four albums or whatever and stuff, or his EPs, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, but Kavinsky, man, I don't know what it was. Even though the albums weren't great, I don't know. He always the music still like connected though. You know,
I was, Yeah. Overall, those albums are certified bangers for sure. I think overall.
Yeah. I know Pacific Coast Highway. I love Night Call. I think Night Call to me is still the best song. Clearly, it's people's favorite song. That's a damn sure. It's like because you hear that shit airing. The first time it got mainstream, well, I can't say mainstream. That film was really indie, like or whatever. But was Drive, as we said.
Of course,
came out in Drive and Angela in the in Phoenix. That was the name of the group that performed with Kavinsky and stuff. But Reborn was the second album, but Night Call, Pacific Coast Highway, man, you talk about albums, dude.
Man, one of my favorite checks, he never got like an actual like official release on like a CD. I think he just dropped on the internet at some point. Mm-hmm. A track called 1986. You get a chance to look that up.
Yep.
Fire fucking track. I love that song.
That was one of my
favorite Kavinsky tracks.
I think that was on one of his EPs. Yeah, it was
EP. Yeah, I think it was on EP.
It was EP. Yeah. Because that one's the one that had Dead Cruiser on it.
Ah, copy.
There yeah, it was right. Dead Cruiser, Grand Canyon, Flashback. I think it was like five songs. And Tessa, correct me, Cody.
Tessa Rosa.
Yeah, Tessa Rosa, which was a Sebastian Telliar remix version of it. So, yeah. And that came out, that was 07. That was before his first album. So, yeah, that was
that was a minute. First. Yeah.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Protovision EP came out right after his first album, which was Night Call. Look it up. Reborn came out. I wasn't crazy on Renegade, but I did like the track or whatever. And then Zenith came out. I actually liked Zenith a lot. The more I listened to it, it was one of those that grew on me. He had a track on there called Goodbye Too, featuring Sebastian Telliar, who did the testosterone or whatever. I like that track a lot. This album is way more like relaxed and calm as compared to his first album. Very different vibe than the second one ever.
Right.
It definitely had like a little bit more, like it wasn't as aggressive as the first one. I think it was as aggressive. Didn't he have an album before 19? It was I think it was Teddy Boy.
Because
that one had a Testosterone Auto Drive before the remix or whatever. And also,
yes, you're absolutely right. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Because I remember it had two tracks on there I really liked, which was Ghost Transistor and The Crash on there. I forgot to look the shit up. I don't know why. I guess he had three albums in. You can consider Teddy Boy. That was damn near full. That had eight tracks on there. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is. Teddy Boy. So, yeah. Seven tracks. Transistor, The Crash, Testosterone, Night Drive Rework, Ghost Transistor, Auto Drive, Mr. Oizo, Auto Drive T42. And as Cody said, so that came out in 05. That came out before even, 1986, which I thought was like around the same year or so. But 1986 came out, which was his EP. I don't know why he just didn't make that a full fucking album at that point, man, because it had six tracks on it. So shit. And then Night Call came out.
Yeah, I think those EPs are fucking fantastic.
EPs are better than albums.
Yeah. I was just looking at it, I was like, oh, yeah, EPs are fucking way go.
Yeah, because he had the Zenith EP. He had did you ever listen to that track he did called Outsider? That came out last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outsider, I thought it was good. Even though it wasn't an EP, it was just a single and shit. But yeah, that was good too. He had a lot of I was looking at this little, his debut, The Kavinsky Project, debut 2006, Teddy Boy. And a single Night Call was used in the titles in the Drive. It also appears in the 2011 film, The Lincoln Lawyer, and in the video game, Grand Theft Auto V. I do remember it there. I don't remember it in Lincoln Lawyer, though.
I don't
remember that. That was back when Matthew McConaughey phase, when he's getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. I can see him totally listening to Night Call, though. Damn.
Oh, yeah.
You listen to that song and you just
sitting on some Wild Turkey.
Which I think he owns now, partial.
He's older now. Okay.
Nice. I think he's like, he got some partial ownership into it or whatever and stuff, when I'm mistaken. So, yeah. Good for him then. If you want to talk about celebrity spirits then, whatever. Yeah, that's probably the best part.
One of the better ones. Easily.
Yeah. I know those Dos Hombres boys, they got their own tequila now, along with their mezcal. So I'll be interested to try to steal it now. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
That mezcal is pretty solid. So I wouldn't mind trying out that tequila. I don't think it's that expensive neither. So I know that fucking high-end mezcal, that shit was delicious as fuck, dude. So yeah. But as far as mezcal goes, yeah. I always put them up as far as celebrity spirits go. Those Hombre boys, and then or the Breaking Bad boys, whatever you want to call them. And then now we can say Matthew McConaughey.
There it is.
Can't ever go wrong with a Wild Turkey 101, I think, for what?
No.
$29 or whatever. And stuff.
That's always reliable, dependable pour right there. Mm-hmm. Wild Turkey 101.
Wild Turkey 101, man. And then if you get some of those limited ones, those gold foil editions and stuff like that, or even you know, the rare breeds and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, rare breed. Fuck with that.
Solid pour. The rare breed gave my laptop water damage when we recorded here.
Yeah. That's right.
With the fucking cork, bro. I was like, God damn it. So yeah, so Matthew McConaughey owes me a laptop.
All right.
So speaking of which, once again, condolences to Vince. He was only 50 years old, too. Girl.
50 years old.
He had a stroke.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. I don't know if he was going to release another album or not. It doesn't really seem like doing albums was his thing. He looked like more of like a performer, live stage performer and shit. I think they named the day after him in France now. I know they did like...
Nice.
I know that they were doing a lot of tributes out there in France and stuff like that, which is great because, you know, I don't know if they know, but one of the Daft Punk members blew themselves up. So I don't think people saw that, though, because they were in the desert. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's like YouTube for a minute. But.
It's got a lot of views and stuff like that. They probably thought that was a music video, but no, he did.
No. That was live footage. That happened.
I like how... Guy Emanuel was just staring at Thomas as he blew himself. I was just like, all right, well, let's keep on.
He's like, oh, damn, he really did that, huh? Oh, okay, shit. Well. All right.
You don't come back to that now.
Glad it wasn't me.
You know what else would have been cool is, remember that the greatest fucking electronic performance of all time? Well, I don't even know if you can call it electronic. More pop, I guess, at that time. Was the Get Lucky with Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir.
Imagine if Kavinsky would have been on the turntables too as well. Oh my God. That Stevie Wonder and Daft Punk collab, that was I never thought I needed something more in my life than I needed Stevie and Daft Punk.
I'm so glad I got a chance to witness that live. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, that's like the only Grammys ever watched, like live, I think.
I think so for me too. I did watch the this came after though, because that Daft Punk one was like, what was that, 2017?
14.
Oh, it was that long ago? Shit.
Yeah. Okay. When I got nominated and won. Yeah. I think it was 2014.
Okay, damn. I did recently watch the one where Nas just won one for King's Disease. Because he did a whole performance of it. That shit was awesome as fuck, whatever. He had the orchestra band to do it. And that shit was awesome as shit. So I was like, man, Grammys need to put more emphasis on these performances here, because these performances are fucking fantastic. Those are the only two Grammys I've ever watched. I don't even know when the Grammys air.
I have no idea. I think it's January, if not mistaken, I think.
Oh, okay.
January, February? Could be wrong, something like that.
Oh, okay. I still wouldn't know. You might be right, yeah. I think it is like earlier in the year. I know it's not end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing something special today.
Okay.
I did a little tasting of some Elijah Craig barrel proofs yesterday. Mm-hmm. That last one in last year was not good, dude. I didn't like that one at all.
No.
I think it was C25. People, if you know Elijah Craig barrel proof, they release 3 batches a year, A, B, and C. And what I love about them, at least you know the fucking batches you're getting, whatever. Year it said right there. So I think the B was still the best one of 2025, whatever. I noticed they're starting a little decline on those. Not as great. But if I could recommend one, it is that barrel proof rye. Holy shit, that rye is delicious.
Oh, I've been wanting to try that.
Oh my God.
I haven't tried that yet.
That shit tastes better than the bourbon.
It's
really fucking good. So I definitely want to get a bottle of that one. If not, I don't know about this year, but we'll see. But I need that price to drop down from 70 to maybe like 65 55 or 60, whatever. But either way though, so I decided, I was like, oh, I'm gonna stick in the Heaven Hill territory since my palate is already refined with some Heaven Hill bottles and stuff. And I think that the barrel proof one from last year was an 11-year-old. So I'm doing a 9-year-old bottle. 9 year and 8 months release here. And that is something special. I was hunting this bottle down because I am a fan of this collection that the Heaven Hill has been doing. The only one I don't really care for that much, although I have not had it yet because it just came out this year. But I had their 18-year-old, and I wasn't a fan of that. I didn't really care. I like the 17-year-old more. The 22-year-old just came out, I think, end of December or January or something like that. I haven't tried that, but I know Costco had them, was slanging those for like $280 compared to the $700 price range I've been seeing every fucking place or whatever and stuff. And then they just released the Heaven Hill just released the Elijah Craig 15-year-old, which is like whiskey of the year contender, what I'm hearing and stuff. I know people are trying to justify the fucking price because I've been bitching about that fucking price. I don't give a shit what nobody tells me because I brought it up on the show 2 weeks ago or whatever, and people was like, oh, you got to understand it costs more than the 18-year-old because it's a cash drink.
That logic makes no sense.
That's why they keep jacking these fucking prices up. It's when you say shit like that. So, okay, so it's cash drink.
All right.
So that 3-year difference don't make no goddamn. That's cool.
Means jack shit.
It don't mean then why put a statement on it then? Just leave it as a mouth bottle then. Why? Like the 18-year-old, I could find that bottle literally right now, and I don't even care for the 18-year-old is fine. It's not great, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could find that for $129 right now. The only time I've seen MSRP for the 15-year-old is $150, which is fine or whatever. I mean, I would probably pay that if I found it for $150. Costco had it for $109 though. Once I saw that price, I'm like, I ain't paying a fucking cent higher.
$109. Yeah. Oh come on, man.
All day, dude. I'll buy 3 of them motherfuckers right then and there, right? But everywhere else, the secondary is $200. So you know, people are trying to tell me, oh, $50 more from the MSRP is not bad or whatever. But it's like, no, fuck that. I'm not fucking paying damn near $75 more than the 18-year-old. I get 2 of the 18-year-olds in at that, and it'll be like $30 more. It's like, what are we getting at here? Like, yo, you know, people was hitting me on Instagram. He's like, oh, you know, it's cash drink though. I was like, fuck that man.
Okay.
That's why that
15 is with 18.
That's why people was justifying that Blue Spot 7-year-old being so fucking expensive when it first came out. And Cody knows because he was looking for the bottle too. The bottle was fucking expensive when it came out. People was trying to say, I was like, wait a minute, that's a 7-year-old though. The other ones are like, the red spot was a 15-year-old, the yellow spot's 12 and shit like that. Why does this cost more than that? Oh, because it's cash drink. That's why. The fuck does that mean? Okay, like, you fucking proof nerds, man. I tell you, dude. Like, shit annoys the fuck
out. What it comes down to.
I was like, yo, like, I like flavor. I always prefer flavor over proof. So when people tell me, oh, man, it's costing this because of that proof and stuff like that. So you mean to fucking tell me just because you made it stronger, that means the price range, whatever. Then you know what? Make that shit weak as fuck going forward. Then, okay. If that's the case, I don't want no more cash drink shit then or whatever. If that's the case then, that's where we dropping bottles from. So what's crazy about this bottle, and I'll read the description of it too, so it makes more sense than how I display it too. Because this bottle, oh, I guess I should show it. I'm doing the Heaven Hill 90th anniversary Heritage Collection, which I'm a fan of Heritage Collection, like I said. Except for the 18-year-old, I'm not too big on that. It's still fine, but I'm not too big on it. I got 2 of these because I heard this was like whiskey of the year last year. This came out like October, November last year. I was able to get 2 of them. I think the MSRP on this is $125. I was able to get my first one for $200. The second one I was able to get for like $175, whatever. So I was fine with those prices because I'm not fucking finding it at $125 because I waited too long. I didn't get these till like 3 months ago, maybe, or whatever. So a good amount of time has passed by, and it's like they're vanishing because they're limited edition. So the secondary on it is going to go crazy. So I was like, that I'll pay the secondary on because I love this Heritage line. So what's crazy about this one is this one's at a 107 proof. But even at 107 proof, this one is considered to be a full proof. And it comes with this little booklet, too, which, by the way, I love this casing, too. I think the presentation is just like
that's pretty solid.
I love the fucking,
I'm gonna take it.
I love it. Like the simple blue and gold, can't go wrong. So the reason why this one's at a full proof is because the whiskey entered into the barrel at 107 proof and keeping Heaven Hill's original barrel entry standard from 1935. So it's bottled at 107 proof. So that way it went into the barrel already at 107 proof and came out bottled as well too. So that's why they considered it almost a full proof. it was aged in heavy char barrels as well, too, which we know Heaven Hill's like that because I think their Parker's Heritage lineup is the most famously known for doing that shit now, whatever, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Cody had that with me when I bought it. I got the, it was when I got the Paradiso. I got the Parker's Heritage 13-year-old.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, do remember.
And that one was a heavy charred as well, too. He didn't have the rye one. Because that rye was on my top 10 list. I love that rye. That rye one is phenomenal. We did have the 13-year-old, though. It was solid. It wasn't as great as the rye, definitely, whatever. I think it probably gave it like a 3 at the time, whatever. I know that bottle was like $400. I paid $90 for that bottle. I was like,
that's crazy.
I was like, yeah. I was shocked it was still sitting on the shelf and stuff. That is the only positive thing, by the way, of being a judge at the Sip Awards. I shouldn't say only positive thing, whatever. But since I was a judge and I had to drink all that shitty whiskey, that was my reward. So... And which they keep begging me to come back. I'm like, did y'all not read my shit? I was like, yo, I hated this. That was some of the. I mean, maybe, I'm afraid to do tequila. I wouldn't even want to do that because, like,
man,
they give me like
the Kettle Arms tequila real, man.
They give me that jalapeno Casamigos and shit.
Yeah. I mean, ooh, hell no.
I think I made a good portion of my top 10 worst though, based off that judge
the
award.
Tasting.
Yeah. I was like, it just got worse as a kid because it was like, what, 15 pours?
No, that's a good amount.
I think it was like 15 or about to go. It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot, dude. Yeah. I was like, and as you, like the first five, you just like, maybe it'll get better. And then like, by you get the bottle number 6, 7, you just like, yeah, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, fuck this.
this is why people don't drink.
This is not it.
It's these. That was the reason why. It's like when people tell me, "Oh, they don't drink this or that," because I was like, "Yeah, because you're drinking bullshit." That's why. When you drink this kind of shit, it makes you dislike drinking. Because when I was drinking that, dude, I was just like, "Yeah, well, I'm not even doing this." I always do love them when people say I can't drink tequila or whiskey, and I always tell them it's because you haven't had a good one yet. Mm-hmm. Say, oh no, I've drinking had a good
swill.
And like, oh no, I've had good one. No, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's the name of it?
Thank you. Yeah. Tell me the name of it because there's no way in hell you could sit up here and tell me that you had like a Parker's Heritage rye or for tequila, like a El Tesoro Paradiso and said, you know what? I don't like tequila or whiskey. I was like, get out of here. Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
You had Jameson and Casamigos. Let's be real. Yep. All right. That's what you had, goddammit. All right.
Maybe not even Casamigos. Maybe they have fucking Milagro.
Oh, no. The worst one of all, Hornitos.
Hornitos. Jesus.
I will take that. That is the worst fucking tequila ever. That is the worst fucking tequila ever.
Ooh, Hornitos.
Hornitos, man. A sponsor of Dodger Stadium. I'm hoping because, speaking of celebrity spirits, Mookie Betts just released his own tequila. I am praying to God. As a great of an athlete, too, for the Dodgers, he is. He's a superstar. I swear to God, I hope that replaces Hornitos.
It can't be worse.
It can't be.
There's no possible way it could be worse.
I need it to be replaced or whatever because I've heard some solid things about it. I haven't had it myself. Okay. I probably will get it, but, you know, we'll see. What's it called?
Didn't even know you had tequila coming out.
I think it just came out. Yeah, it just came out recently, but the bottle looks like that.
Okay, nice.
Looks like an agave. Yeah. Well, the designs on the bottle, not the actual bottle, or whatever. But look like God. Yeah. But so yeah, it's called Tequila Providencia, and I always love when people say, "Oh, it's award winning." That don't mean shit. Every bottle got an award.
Which awards?
Every bottle got us an award. Matter of fact, we're gonna start giving out awards to bottles. The fuck you award. How about that? We've already been doing that, to be honest.
We kind of do that already.
Kept calling it different things, like the Dobell Award. The Lifetime Dobell Award. I think we might just call it one thing instead of changing it every year. That way you'd be like, oh, yeah, you got an award, all right?
Yeah, the Dobell of the Burbank County 30. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. That is the appropriate response.
That's a shame. That Bourbon County I had this year, that shit was that
double barrel.
Barrels, woo! That was good shit right there. Any other year, that easily is a top 10 list or whatever if I wasn't having such a great fucking year or whatever. Because that shit was so fucking good. I wish I wouldn't have opened it. I really wish.
That shit is so, that double barrel, I tell you, that shit is life changing, man.
I wish I would have had. That's the best fucking beer I've ever had. Changing.
Yep.
It is easily the best fucking beer I've ever had. It is that fucking great, man. I got that. It was good. It's everything you fucking want in a beer.
Hell yeah.
It reminded me of my old Miller Lite days, man. Mm. Oh. You remember when we used to go to the distillery, Cody, together?
Sip a, yeah. Get nice ice cold Miller Lite.
We take that knife and cut that head off right here. Like, oh, yeah, look at that shit. Right?
That saber action.
Yeah, he's like, oh, look at that. It's sexy. I use my trusty gold knife. I'd be like, oh, let me get that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That nice crisp taste.
Oh, man. You don't know me and Cody, because that place is like an hour away from both of us and shit. We drive out there, we get that, and they be like, oh, here's some history. And we'd be like, hey, yeah, fuck all that history. Wounded, we get to drink some of that drink.
Yeah. Give me that.
I know, I drove by it recently. I think they produced the Jack and Coke in a can shit there, too. I'm like, yo. I would say,
produces everything bad.
I love California to death. I will never move out of this state unless it's out of a different country, maybe, because I can't afford here no more. We have some of the worst fucking distillery shit out here.
Yeah, we can't do like whiskey.
We can't do that.
Sure, we definitely can't do whiskey. We have a lot of good crap brews out here, breweries, but yeah, we have, of course, like this big fucking Miller.
Yeah.
Plant.
The crap brews.
Like, what was that, like Azusa, near there in Azusa, like West Covina area?
I think it's further than that.
Yeah, somewhere out there.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit past that, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we can't give credit. We have Nosotros Tequila.
Yeah.
We have them, and they produce.
Damn good.
I mean, I guess now we could say Elon Musk is a celebrity at this point now, right? So.
Yeah.
Pseudo celebrity, but he produces one of the best celebrity spirits we've ever tried, so.
I'd say it's Elon Musk, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he don't do shit with it, so let's be real. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
He ain't got a fucking thing to do with it, for all I know. Man, that fucking cork pop was beautiful, by the way. That was nice.
I heard that actually. Yeah, it was pretty solid pop.
Synthetic is all we need. That note, I can smell that shit from here. That shit smells great. This Heritage Collection is awesome as shit, man. But I see people waiting in line for them 18-year-old, them 19-year-old ones, whatever. I'm like, I ain't doing that shit at all. I don't like lines. I don't do lines at all. I ain't waiting no two. And, you know, them motherfuckers be waiting in line from, like, 6 p.m. day before and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah.
Comic-Con shit.
It might be worse. Yeah, I'm like, fuck all that. I'm not doing that at all.
People still camp out, man. That's crazy. 2026.
Yeah, I think I was going to go pick up one of my bottles or whatever, and I saw dudes camping out, and I saw him with the Heaven Hill bottle, and I think I had got the Barrel Proof Colonel Taylor, and I think I got a Blanton's Gold or whatever. It might have been a Michter's Toasted Barrel too, rye. And the guy stopped me. He's like, oh, man, you got a good haul. I was like, yeah, I got some good shit or whatever. I said, oh, you the one that got that Heaven Hill. I was like, I'll trade you these three for that then. He was like, nah, man, I camped out from like 6, 7 p.m. the day before. I looked at him and I was like, oh, you stupid, man. Okay. Because I was about to say, I got three bottles here to your one or whatever. And I didn't camp shit, dude. Just like, you know, I'm not to say that, like, you know, none of those bottles probably taste as good as what he got. But, you know, three allocated really good bottles compared to that one. And like, you know, right. I don't know who really went in here, you know? So, okay. You know, so, I mean, that Colonel Taylor Barrel Proof alone, whatever. I'm like, yeah, especially for the price I got for 70, 79.
Oh, come on now.
And then the Michter's I got for 50.
Oof.
And the Blanton's Gold I got for, I think that was the most expensive. I think that was 89. Prices. Yeah, like dumb dumb prices or whatever shit. Yeah. Once you pay them prices, well, you look at secondary, you just like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, you can kiss my ass.
Doing that. Like, well, people, you know, the Barrel Proof is dropping in prices and shit. And I was excited about that too, but then it dawned on me. It was like, well, I never paid over for a Barrel Proof anyway. So right. I was like, it's getting them shits for under $100 anyways. I was like, oh, what am I excited about? God damn, this nose is fucking heavenly, dude. Oh my god,
it's actually
dude.
Really pretty poor too. Yeah, I love color. The color on that. That's nice.
Color, man. Look at that. That 90th anniversary.
That is a gorgeous pour, sir. Red highlights.
This was a contender for
gold action.
Bottled on 12/13/2015. 78 for the mash bill on this. I don't really go over mash bills use that much, but I'll read it. Go ahead. 78% corn, 10% rye, and 12% malted barley. I know people love talking about mash bills. You'll find out on this show. I'm the one whiskey guy. I don't give a fuck about mash bills.
It's a buzzword sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't
sound smarter than what you are.
I don't give a fuck how much corn or rye you use.
I know a lot about the whiskey I'm drinking. Like, okay, that's fantastic.
Right, cool. Thank you. Only mash bill you'll hear me talk about is Buffalo Trace's mash bills, because they use the same mash bill on certain of their products. Like, I think it was Blanton's, Elmer T. Lee, Rock Hill Farms, and Hancock's president. What the fuck is that about? I think it's Hancock. I forgot the fucking name. Hancock, whatever. They use the same mash bill for that, so you'll get similar profiles on it. Like, when you drink all four of them side by side, it's like, oh, shit. So that's the only time you'll probably ever hear me do mash. Because I've always thought about doing the four of those on an episode. I've been thinking about that for like 4 years, I think, now at this point. I still haven't done it yet. I don't know why, but probably because I'm not a fan of are too crazy about that matter. It's funny because Rock Hill Farm tastes better than the other three. But yeah, this bottle, I love that label. It's got like this gold, like henchel, like, it's silky looking or whatever. It's like, oh man, it's beautiful. I'll say 70% Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey or 9-year-old and 30% Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey aged in heavy char barrels. Yep. Another one that was aged in heavy char barrels. That seems to be the Heaven Hill lineup right there. That's their core usage of what they do with their barrels now. Rightfully so, because heavy char tastes fucking great. So, man, that sweet oak just hits right away, though. That shit smells pleasant as fuck, whatever. But it still has, like, that foolproof essence, though, as well, too, because it smells like it could be, like, you know, in the 110, 115 range as well.
A little stinking action on the nose, perhaps.
Yeah, got a little toast on there, you know, a little bit of that spice, though. But it comes off as very warm, very sharp. Get a little bit of syrup scent in there as well, too. And then, like, dark sugar, dude, all over it, man. Man, that's how you do sugar. That's how you do sugar, though. That sugar just, it doesn't taste like it's going to give me a fucking headache or anything like that. Or it doesn't taste, smell like it's going to give you a headache if you sip this shit. Because if this was, like, shitty tequila with all them additives in it, you'd be like, ooh. Mm-mm. Oh my god, dude! I'm gonna tell you, I could not wait to get this open. I just didn't want to pay the secondary price on this last year when it was dropping. It was like $350 to $400, and I was like, I was like, I ain't paying that at all, or whatever. And I know most people in the whiskey community say I wouldn't pay that because it's a 9-year old and it's only 107 proof. That's how most whiskey people relate their purchases to, is if the proof is low or something like that. I just relate it to, I ain't giving them $400 yeah, that's how I relate mine. Heaven Hills, I would say it's probably the most expensive fucking distillery too. Their bottles are fucking pricey. A lot of them are. At least with like Buffalo Trace, their bottles are pricey too in the secondary. I think you can get a better chance of finding their bottles though, with a little bit of luck and stuff like that, compared to Heaven Hill shit. Like, because their heritage stuff, I mean, you're not going to see these drop at all in price unless you fucking get it in like a lottery type deal. And, you know, I got lucky getting this at 180, even at that or whatever stuff. I'm not paying them $300 and kiss my ass. And then like those old Fitzgerald bottles, forget about it, man. They're fucking pricey as shit too. You know, I was lucky to get mine for like, you know, $70 to $90. I got a 9-year-old and 11-year-old. I'm trying to think what other. Then the Parker's Heritage bottles, fucking things are like $300 and up as well too. Obviously, we just talked about Elijah Craig bottles or whatever, their age statement bottles. They're in the 18-year-old drop. It's like $130. I've seen the cheapest. You know, still a little pricey, but you know, $130 is the best that you can do. It's probably the cheapest age statement bottle they got right now, to be honest.
Yeah, it's actually not so bad. We think they all things into consideration. Given like age state bottles, like 18-year-old for like 130. That's actually not too bad. You really don't see that too much on the market.
15-year-old, and even though I was just bitching about the price, still cheap on Heaven Hill's lineup. I mean, because It's $200 at secondary. That's the cheapest probably out of all their bottles. You probably find a 9-year-old old Fitzgerald maybe for $200. There's a big maybe though. You know, they got lower stuff because they released the they have like old Fitzgerald Prime bottles that were like old dusty ones. You probably find those for like $30. I got like three of them. I got for $10. They released the old Fitzgerald 7-year-old bottle in bond. Doesn't come close to the juice that's inside to the 9 and up bottles, whatever. But I mean, you can get that for like $60, $50, whatever and stuff. And it's still a solid pour for a good everyday usage. The Elijah Craig barrel proof ones. Those bottles are weird. I guess that one depends on the where you live. Cause I've seen them range and price range all over the fucking place. We live in a lucky state, if you will. The cheapest I've seen for like $55. So. And you can get those for 55. I've seen all the way to 55 to 89. I wouldn't pay 89. Once I'm already paying 55 to 60 bucks, I don't know about that now. So 70 bucks I'd probably pay. I'd like to drop that though. And then, like, you know, you got your other shit, like your corn mellow and all that shit, but nobody want that. I don't think anybody. And then they got the Heaven Hill Heritage Bottle and Bond, which is like $50. They have a bottle and bond for all their basically a huge line. They have the Bottle and Bond Old Fitzgerald, the Bottle and Bond Heaven Hill. There's not a Bottle and Bond Parker's Heritage. Parker's Heritage is fucking expensive, but Parker's Heritage is, to me, Parker's Heritage is kind of like Colonel Taylor. It's like their shit is usually always good. They're always going to give like a solid rating on those or whatever and stuff. That rye is incredible. So, I mean, they beat Colonel Taylor better than that because their rye tastes like shit. At least that barrel proof rye.
Yeah.
I don't know about the straight rye. I haven't had that straight rye in a while.
That's like the one of the rare misses.
Yeah, I don't know what Colonel Taylor was thinking with that shit. That shit was awful.
Yeah.
Shit was awful. I know they just came out with that cured oak Colonel Taylor and they charged like $300 to $400. I passed on it at $300 and somebody was like, "Oh, you crazy?" I was like, "No, I'm not. You're not getting fucking $300.
No, complete opposite actually.
Yeah, I was like, is that why the barrel proof's dropping? Because they was gonna release this bullshit? Nah, we good. Yeah. I was like, that barrel proof's still good. So you know, so I'm trying to think what other. I'm blanking on the bottle too. I love their distillery. I don't know why I'm blanking on Evan Williams bottles of Heaven Hill. Those are great. The regular line's all right, not that great, but like man, you get the Japan edition and the duty free or the distillery edition ones. Oh, those are great. I think you can find the 12-year-old Japan one online, but they want like $200 and something for it, which is fucking crazy because I got that bottle for $60 over there.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, I took that to a bottle share last year. That shit was gone. I was like, damn, I was hoping to get less of that shit. I still have the distillery edition. I got it at a duty-free. They didn't touch that one as much, which I was thankful for, by the way. I was like, hey, thank God. Don't touch that one. Whatever. I still have that one. And that one's solid as shit. That's a great everyday sipper right there. But, yeah, so Evan Williams. So, yeah, Heaven Hill is good. They just a lot of their business practices, usually people that turn people away and stuff like that. But their higher-end stuff, man, you can't really ask for a better pour when it comes to that. I rarely review Heaven Hill stuff. And I think I've done some Old Fitzgeralds. Obviously, last year I did the Parker's Heritage. But I'll probably start doing more of them because I do like their lineup. I'm becoming more of a fan of them now than I was before because I didn't really care for their business practices much more. I feel like Buffalo Trace had a little bit more of a lineup to go to, but I don't know. Heaven Hill, I'm not buying as much whiskey these days, or at least much bullshit. So I am kind of just holding space for like shit like this, which is what I should be doing anyway. All right, I'm going to the sip because this nose, I could sniff this all day. God, it's so good. All right. Ooh. Oh, man. That shit is rich as hell. Oh, on the palate, too. It's thick. Man. That char, that heavy char, it really comes through. That's what you love about the heavy char that Heaven Hill uses. Always makes their product just a little bit more intense and richer for 107 proof too. Packs that little nice little punch there. Definitely not like a cash drink type of deal or whatever, but it's up there. This is a non-chill filter too, by the way, people. So it coats really fucking nicely, but the non-chill filter helps with the coating on it as well. God, oh my God. got that nice little sweetness too, but it's not overpowering as well. It's layered with a little bit of butter. That syrupy taste I was getting earlier in the nose, whatever, it's there as well too. There's some caramel action. There's some cherry on there. You're getting like this, like a cherry cola.
Oh.
They still make like a cherry coke okay. shit?
Yeah. I think they do. Pretty sure they do.
One day I'm going to drink a soda. I won't, brother.
You won't.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah. I'll drink a soda one day for the show. How about that? oh God. Oh my God. Yeah, that palate. Let me get to the finish now. Hold on. Palate is so good, but the finish though is just as good too. Oh, that black pepper and cherry just carries through in the finish. The heavy char is more of a toastiness now, but then like more of that. Heavy char is more on the palate. There's some red fruits that are coming in as well now. Oh my God.
Like one of those ever-evolving pours.
Yeah, what man. Like? God damn, I see why my homegirl in North Carolina kept bugging me about this last year. I was bitching. I'm like, I'm not giving them $350. I'm not. And she's like, my husband says it's fucking delicious. He's like, I was like, God damn it. I don't know why, too. I just really wanted this one when it came out. I was just like, man, I just want that one for some reason. And then when I saw his price, I was like, no, blow me is what you can do. And she just kept hitting me up saying, hey, you're missing out. You need to go grit one over there. Cause it's like, unlike, Cody's, you know, 30th anniversary, Goose Island, this is limited.
Right.
Yeah, it's limited.
Yes, actually limited.
Yeah, it means like that's you'll find
marketing gimmick.
Yeah, you got to drive like 50 miles, go get one bottle or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe find them online or something like that. You know, I ain't got to go to my local Total Wine 10 minutes down the street and see bottles of the shit, you know?
Cases. Cases on top of cases.
Cases, yeah. Because I would pass in the cigar room going like, oh, look, cases. I mean, it was getting to a point, it was so obnoxious, I felt like buying one just to say, fuck it, just get rid of this shit. Yo, like, I can't.
Get out of my way.
It's one of those, if Cody had not reviewed it, I probably would have just bought it, just been like, God damn, I'm tired of seeing it, you know? It's like, oh, wait, please. This is actually limited, Cody. I know you don't know what that means anymore now after Goose
Island. Do not.
that trick Goose Island played on you, whatever. That
fucking debacle, yeah.
Could you imagine if that was good, though? You would have boxes of it.
Yeah, I would. All the boxes would be gone. It wouldn't be there. It was actually, you know, living to the 30th anniversary fucking namesake.
I guess you're pointing for, yeah, it wouldn't be there.
Yeah, it would fucking be there.
That's true. Okay. Bullish imagine if it was out there and it was good. That would be crazy.
Yeah,
hey, I would have got a case.
Oh, yeah.
Say I wish less. I had a fucking case of that double barrel. There was a fucking case.
Okay. Ooh, you imagine? Oh, my God.
I know this year now. I know this year.
Hmm.
People, last year, Cody wasn't on, but I did a Black Friday episode of all the bottles I got. That's going to be a continuing thing. Every end of November, I think we're going to do a Black Friday episode. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to get my case of Double Barrel this year if it releases. I'm getting a case.
Yeah, I can't skip this year, man. I need that.
Yeah, that's...
In a minute. I need that in my life. Yeah, and I ain't passing up this year.
I got some good bottles last Black Friday. I think I got
I need that Double Barrel.
Got a high proof because I had the points. I got me a Fortaleza Still Strength for $40. Dude, 40. I looked at that and it was just like, it's between that or the Wellers. And I was just like, I just can't say no to $40 Still Strength. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, dude. Fortaleza.
Yeah, and then I got there. I got their Blanton store pick, but like a little 375 milliliter one. I was like, oh, even better. I was like, I don't want that fucking big one. That was only like $30. I was like, oh, ooh, man.
There we go.
We under $100, Cody. We under $100. I was like, all right. I was like, okay, let's drive to Louis Liquor now, whatever. I went and got some Only Mix there. Because, you know, you got to have that Only Mix in your life. They just came out with the new watermelon flavor, people, too, by the way. Somebody made a cocktail with that shit. And this hot ass sun we got in California right now, that shit looked refreshing on the camera. Yeah, I said,
I can only imagine.
I need that watermelon. I need that watermelon Only Mix. I need Only Mix in my life in general. My fridge usually is full, but I've been out this week. I haven't had time to go get more or whatever stuff. But they got a lot of new flavors coming too, Cody.
All right. Looking forward to trying them out.
A lot more.
I've had Only Mix in a minute.
They sent me a photo. I drink that shit weekly, except for this week, apparently. Then I went to Louis Liquor and got me a Stag Junior for $80. And then I was like, oh shit, I didn't get any Bourbon County beer. So I drove to, well, I was already on the way. I was like on that way to Total. So I was like, oh, let me stop at the Total Wine. I bet they got some still. And I saw the double barrel sitting there, and I was like, yeah, might as well just grab these then or whatever. I should have grabbed Moda One because I think I sent you a photo. It was like three cases of it left still, which I was shocked because it was already like 2 o'clock p.m. that time or whatever, though. Or maybe like noon. Woo, man. Oh, my God. Ah, can't think about it enough now or whatever. I still have one more of the Eagle Rare ones, the Bourbon County ones.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice.
I thought I had the Angel's Envy one still, too. I must have drank that shit, though. So, damn, this shit's good, though. This is really good. So, I will comment and say, like, Whiskey of the Year contender last year when they were saying that. I it's hard to disagree with people.
Oh, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, okay.
This might even be better than that Booker's I have.
Mm-hmm, damn.
Yeah. Actually, it probably is, yeah. Yeah, I haven't had it in a minute, but man, it's like some cocoa powder on there too. I love that cherry flavor that's coming through more now, that cherry cola flavor. Well, man, that 107 proof just adds so nicely to it because you're getting all those flavors and shit like that. That profile is just sticking out like crazy. The finish lingers too as well. It's long enough to where you're enjoying yourself. It's also kind of creamy a little bit too as well.
Mm.
But it's also that caramel flavor, man. It's like a I think like when you got like a little chocolate bar and it's got the caramel filling inside of it, kind of reminds me of that. Like you bite into it and the caramel just slides on it. Like that's what it reminds me of. Mm.
That's absolutely fucking delicious, man. Damn.
That does sound delicious. Even that chocolate. Think about it. Like a Dove chocolate with some fucking caramel.
Anniversary action. Sounds fucking delicious.
Man. The Heritage bottles, man, they're great, dude. I just wish the fucking secondary market was nicer on these damn things because, man, I totally want a 22-year-old. When I found out Costco had it for, well, I think $280 or $300, I can't remember whatever it was. I was in a rush over there to get the motherfucker. Matter of fact, I did, actually. I did. Because the Inglewood one told me they had some in stock. I got there the first thing in the morning. Motherfuckers told me that shit sold out right before they closed. I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. I was like.
That's so.
I said, you ain't got one more? I was like, no, we don't know. I was like, God damn, dude. I was there before it even opened, Cody. I was sitting in the car. I was waiting for them because, you know, Costco got that membership shit can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the senior citizens can come in, too, before they really open as well. I was trying to get in there with the senior citizens, Cody. I was like, hey.
Just sneak in.
I don't know if you noticed.
Your old man makeup on.
Yeah. I didn't even do that. Dude. Have you not seen me? I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm 56 or whatever and shit. And they was just like, can you just show us your ID? And I was like, I try to pull it right. Because I'm black, I got to show ID? That's some bullshit. That's bullshit. I was like, I don't want to purchase anything. When I got in there, dude, I was like, oh, yeah, we sold that last. It was like, yeah, we had one in stock, but we sold it last night, like right before it closed. She was like, I remember it, too. I was like, my buddy was able to get one. Lucky his ass or whatever and shit. So, because I would pay $300 for the 22-year-old. I think that 22-year-old goes for fucking... You're about to find out. Oh, hold on.
Shit, something like close to like a grand.
Something
stupid.
It's probably something stupid, yes.
Yeah. Probably around 700 or something like that.
$859.
Damn. Okay. I lowballed it. Shit.
There's a store in Diamond Bar that's got it for the cheapest I see is $789.
Ah, Jesus.
Yeah, that's just. God damn.
This is dumb.
That's fucking crazy. $549. I don't know what this is. That's probably a website. I ain't going there. I don't trust them. Yeah, it ain't getting no cheaper. I don't see nothing. It ain't getting no cheaper. I think that $500 is the cheapest I've seen, and even that's like, ugh. The Wine Gallery has it for $549. I don't know what the fuck the Wine Gallery is. Yeah, so we're not finding it. All right, well, there you go. So,
hell no.
I'm not getting that. All right, well,
nope.
Hey, you know this website's fake. $300. Yeah. Euphoria Liquor. $329.
Yeah, where is that at? Where is Euphoria Liquor based at?
This product is currently locked. What the fuck? It's in New York.
Okay.
I could see that then if it's New York. I don't know why, but New York and Jersey or Philly?
Jersey.
One of those states. They always have like little rare bottles every now and then for different price. The problem with them, though, is why they're able to keep it. They don't ship.
Copy.
Yeah, so the East Coast tends to do that shit, which is fucking wild to me or whatever, but whatever. Not that I would have that shipped anyway. I wouldn't buy that online. Plus, when I spend that much money on a bottle, I'm getting that shit at the store directly. I want that shit in my hands right then and there. If you're in New York, though, Euphoria Liquor has this, go get me that bottle. I'd send my friends to do it, but I think they'd keep it. I think they'd keep it, so it wouldn't be no good for me or whatever. Yep, there's another store that has it for $400. Yeah, that Chicago, yep, yeah. It's always like a Chicago or I think it's Philly or Jersey or in New York. There's some every now and then they have a store out there that'll have like a little deal on it. Okay. They do that's the thing with these stores, they do crazy shit. They want $279 for the Elijah Kirk 15-year-old. But the Heaven Hill 22-year-old is $399.
What?
The fuck? Even the Four Roses limited special limited release special is only $229 compared to the Elijah Craig $279.
These stores don't know what the fuck they're doing. They really don't.
What in the blue fuck?
Because they basically say those are similar tiers. And clearly they're fucking not.
No.
Or you know they're not.
They ain't even close.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nah, no. Let's say just going by, like, they want $400 for the 90th anniversary. That's the same price as the 22-year-old. So don't get me wrong. For the 22-year-old right now, I'd probably pay $400 if I was in the store. Right. I'd be like, yeah, I'd probably get that, you know, because that's, like, already half off if it's going for, like, $8.99 and shit and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'd probably grab that. But now I'm looking at it, too, as well, going, like, oh, because I could see them easily saying, oh, we also got the 90th anniversary of Venus then. And I'd go like, oh, well, if there's only 400, how much is that? And if they told me 400, I would just be like, 22 is fine.
I'll just stick with 22.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how, maybe they're basing this off of year release because the 19-year-old came up, but the 19-year-old is $1,200.
What? Very confused.
That's one of those stores. That's one of those stores. So if you're in New York, you probably get lucky because these stores are dumb enough to do shit like that. But here in California, yeah, the cheapest look like you find that shit for is $7.89. Damn, that's
That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, that's a no for me too, dog. Oh, and that's on sale. It was $8.49. That's a sale.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, they shouldn't have.
Oh, they shouldn't have dropped that $100 off. I'm so, yeah. Damn, Eagle Rail 12-year-old is still $180 in store for a second? That's fucking crazy.
What? People are nuts, man.
Oh, and that's on sale, Cody, for $249.
People are fucking crazy.
As someone who's reviewed that Eagle Rail 12-year-old on here, too, it's not that good for $179.
Come on, man. What are we talking about here?
I might give that a fuck it just if I paid that price alone.
That is egregious. That really is a fuck you kind of price right there. For a bottle like that? What?
Yeah. And I paid secondary. I paid $109 at Tequila Ranch.
Eagle Rare 12 people?
Yeah, $179 is crazy. I think the retail on that is $79.
Right.
I paid like $30 more. I paid $109.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah. I know, and the only reason I regret because I was getting a barrel proof because fucking Tequila Ranch, they had a barrel proof for like $89 or $90 or something like that. I was like, man, I'm gonna go grab that then. And we were chatting it up and I kept staring at the Eagle Rare. It had just came out at that time and I was just like, $109. I was just like, that's probably the cheapest I'm gonna see that fucking bottle for. I was like, let's just go ahead and get it and go ahead and grab it. Whatever.
Sure enough.
I'm glad I did because I would not if I'd have paid $180 for it, that bottle would have got a fuck it. I think the store picks might, if I'm not mistaken, I think I like some store picks more than that 12-year-old. Man. I'm talking about store pick 10-year-old people too, right, by the way. Yeah. So yeah. It just tastes like an amped up more 10-year-old. But not much better than the Jew. Damn, I want that 22-year-old now. He got me a bird on. All right, whatever. Apparently, I'm not getting that bottle. So there's certain bottles that you're just not destined to have, and Heaven Hill is definitely one of them brands that, like, I wouldn't even look at them. Just like, don't
spare
even
look. Me, spare me the heartache.
It's like Colonel Taylor. Like, don't even look past barrel proof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? If you look past that barrel proof, you're going to be shit out of luck.
You're just doing a disservice to yourself.
I did that with that cured oak or whatever. And I saw $300 with people telling me that's the cheap price. I was just like, oh, okay. Okay. That's the cheap price. All right. Oh my God, dude. Damn, that's good. Oh. Lingering spice on that finish. Toasted oak. Very sharp. Still got rich. There's some dried fruit on the back end as well, too. Those red fruits are still in the palate, though, too, as well. And red fruits, I'm getting like the red cherries. Like, I mean, bright red cherries, you know. I love that this finish isn't overloaded with heat, too, as well. It's like the perfect amount. Perfectly balanced as well. God damn, this is good, dude. Oh, it just gets better with every sip, too. I know I saw people when it came out saying that the retail on this was $125. People were saying, it's kind of too high. But I think it was like right before they tried it, then they tried it. And I think they were like changing their opinion. It was like, all right, I'd pay $125 for that or whatever. I mean, should I pay $200 damn near with it? So, shit, if I found this at $125, I'd buy two of them right now. Damn, that is fucking good. Yeah, that is really good. I could see a whole shelf I'd get rid of for another two bottles of this. We were like, all right, bye, bottom shelf.
Gotta make space. Get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah, I gotta get out of the way or whatever. Yeah, all right, yeah. All right, yeah, that's really good. I like this a lot. It gets better with every sip. Wow, that nose is incredible. That palate is incredible. And that finish is pretty goddamn incredible. This is really fucking good. I love the richness of this. Man, I love the process of how it goes through these layers it has. Comes off, once again, as I said last month, comes off as like a luxury pour, man. Comes off like it tastes like it's $100 plus. So it tastes like it's got some exquisite crafting going on in here as well, too. Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I really enjoy this heritage lineup that Heaven Hill released. I wish the fucking prices would be better, as we just looked at prices right now for 22-year-old. What's the MSRP on that 22-year-old? I probably shouldn't Great be question. Doing this. I shouldn't even be doing this, but well, I'm curious now. A
fantastic question.
What is the MSRP? $319. That's still kind of high, but...
That's pretty high, but being in comparison to what the actual fucking secondary is, this ain't so goddamn bad.
Yeah, not only that, it is a 22-year-old whiskey.
So that's, I guess that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, I hate to say it. Fair, I guess. Sure.
We were talking about that with tequila when I had the 16-year-old. It's like, that's an $800 bottle or whatever, and it's a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. Well, this is higher than that, and it's actually cheaper at MSRP or whatever. It's $300, so... I just said I'd pay $400. So, yeah, I'd pay $300 for this. So, yeah, easily, yeah, because I want to fucking try it or whatever, because I've heard some positive things on it. So, $319, not fucking bad. 64% ABV or whatever. I hate MSRP prices. I hate them because you never really see them in store for this unless you know somebody who knows somebody. But, yeah. Damn, the Parker's Heritage 11-year-old American bottle, even at high proof. That shit's 122 proof, number one. That shit is $300 at high proof. I got the 13-year-old for $90. Man, somebody fucked up when they missed that bottle. I mean, it was like right there in clear day, too. I was just like staring at it, and it had that big-ass post-it note on it that said $90. And I was just like, I'm grabbing that. That's like, well, can't beat that. I was like, damn. Let's see. Heaven Hill, Parker's Heritage. 13-year-old, there you go. 13-year-old, there we go. How much does that go for? $479.
Ooh.
I paid $90 for that bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can get it at, if you feel like a big baller, Cody, you can go to Savoy Liquor for $642.
Oh, I would not do that.
They just had to put but that.
Thanks for the idea, though.
They just had to put that extra $2 there. It couldn't just be $640, huh? It was like, nope. Nah.
642.
Yeah, it's had to be there, huh? Damn, that bottle's expensive. Jesus, I paid $90 for that.
Crazy.
Yeah. Damn, maybe I should be a judge again.
I'm saying, man.
I just lying.
Might not be the worst investment.
No, because, yeah, I mean, you saw when I brought, I got that old granddad. I chipped him out of. Yeah. That old granddad was like $200. I got it for fucking $20. Right. I was like,
take a couple of baby sips of the bullshit throughout the, you know, tasting phase. You good to go.
It's blind tasted, too, so you don't know what the fuck you're drinking. It's like, ew. Mm-hmm. Just do the vodka section, man, because you know it's all shit. It's like, yeah, I know what to expect out of this, whatever. There's no mystery in this. I ain't getting no better. Yeah. You do the tequila, you get your hopes up all high and be like, oh, what is that? Why does that taste like battery? I give this a last drop, though. That's there really good. Yeah, I gotta give that a last drop. I couldn't. That'd be a disservice.
Could not give a last drop.
Yeah, this is well-crafted. This is... Damn, this is so good. I enjoyed a lot of this. This is, wow. You keep being put away now. You're being put away. You're getting back on that
back
show.
To the vault.
Yep, back to the vault you go. I'm glad I got a second bottle. So I made a good choice in getting a second bottle on that. So, yes. Now, if anybody can hook me up with any of those age statement ones or whatever, then we can talk. I will trade you a whole shelf for one. A whole show. You can just take that whole except for that. You can't have that midnight dram though. That midnight dram is really old and it tastes really fucking great. But that one's though. That's mine. That whole show. You can have it though. Just take it all, whatever. Some bottles open, some not, or whatever. Shit. Just have at it if you will, whatever. Man. The glass still smells. Oh man, tastes like a bakery in there. It smells like one. Oh yeah. Yeah, that essence is so good. All right, people. This has been a long enough episode here as we shoot the breeze here. So we're going to go ahead and get the fuck out of here. Damn, that's so good. We'll be back next week, though, for Craft Beer Week.
That's right. Yeah. Ooh, I got something fun getting cooked up next week. We'll see if this comes through, but I think.
You haven't had a beer in a minute.
Pretty fun. Yeah, it's been a while. So look forward to that, folks. Should be exciting.
Been a little minute that you're fixing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe. One of our nice listeners will send me a double barrel so I can open it up next week and have some beer with Cody.
If only somebody could be so nice enough to hook that up for Mr. Brightwell over here.
That'd be great, actually. Yeah, none for Cody, just for me. You don't even like beer.
He doesn't like it. What's together?
Yeah, exactly, whatever stuff. You just give him his, his...
Beer, ew.
Give him his mandala and he'll be happy, yeah. Mandala, he's a happy camper over there. So yeah. All right, folks, we're gonna get out of here. I am your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the Godfather of Craft Beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.